something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
Andrea and Laramie go to Universal Studios.
We catch up with the best of news from Action 7.
And what's better? Or bop, bozy bozy bop, zitty bop. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hi, guy.
140, bot.
140?
What do you respond when someone calls you guy? Of all the things that people can call you, is guy like one of your least favorites?
No, it depends on like the person. Like sometimes my dad would say in the morning, like, hey, guy. Hi, guy.
That feels pretty good.
When I was a little kid. And it feels good coming from the right. Hey, guy. There he is.
What would get your back up? I think buddy can be used as a warning.
Yeah.
Hey, easy, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, buddy is the worst. Buddy's a sign of like, okay, now we're on an offense. Now,
hey, slow down, buddy. How do you feel about pal?
Pals is worse, maybe. Hey, pal. That's like throwing out a hey, lady.
Lady.
Right?
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady. Hey, lady, I'm just trying to get these groceries done. I gotta get home.
Look, lady. Look, lady is a pretty off-putting way to start a sentence.
I'm sorry, lady, but I gotta go home.
I'm gonna tell you something, lady. Woman.
I know, like, that's the same as, hey, man, just, I don't have time for that today. Like, that. Here's a story about Sammy Hagar when he was at some, like, a friend of mine was at some restaurant.
With Sammy Hagar?
Sammy Hagar was at another table.
I love this story already.
And it was some kind of, like, themed restaurant. I think it was on the beach. Maybe it might have been in Mexico because he lives in like Cabo Wabo or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was like a kind of a touristy restaurant, and there was like a waiter who was singing, and he was singing Elvis. and he comes over to Sammy, and he's like, "Yeah, baby, go to work." And he's like, "Man, I ain't got no time for Elvis today." He shoved like.
What's Sammy Hagar so busy doing?
Well, he just didn't want to hear some guy singing, yelling, and screaming Elvis while he's just, I don't know, maybe.
If I was the Elvis guy, I would find a way to incorporate the word Sammy Hagar into the lyrics. I saw Sammy Hagar in county jail.
Man, I ain't got time for Elvis today.
Sammy Hagar is like a squillionaire. From
he's totally loaded.
Yeah.
Selling his tequila to Seagram's or whatever. Cabo and he still Lobo. Has a piece of it. Yeah, he sold it for like $500 million or something, maybe more.
It's like 50 Cent and vitamin water all over again.
Yeah, and he's the type of guy, you go to his house and it's like, let's race some ATVs on the beach and just go out and hang out.
Who, Hags is like that?
Yeah.
Do you have any friends who've hung out with Hags?
I've hung out with Hags.
Where?
We did the 1995 Balance Van Halen tour for 3 months.
Oh, that was Hags, right. I was thinking that was David Lee Roth.
Yeah. No, that was Hagsy. He's one of those guys who will come up and start, like, you know, soft punching you. Hey, buddy. One of those guys. How's it going? How's it going, man?
Well, how does a buddy from Hags feel?
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, he's like, he dresses like Richard Simmons, like tank top, short shorts.
Dolphin everywhere. Shorts. Nylon totally. Dolphin shorts.
Semen shorts.
Do you know, here's how I don't enjoy Buddy. Hey, Buddy, you dropped what? Your keys. Like one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, like, thanks. Like, might as well call me asshole.
Yeah. But why? Hey, it's funny because hey, Bod feels good. Hey, bud.
Hey, asshole.
Dropped your keys, bud.
Dropped your keys, asshole.
So you spent time with Alex and Eddie Van Halen the most.
And
So is Sammy kind of a quiet guy kept to himself, or just a party of a whole different stratosphere?
That's interesting, because that tour was right the last when Sammy was getting booted.
Ah.
So it was kind of like he was centered out, and he was kind of hanging out with his wife at the time. And he would kind of do his solo set, and I guess the other guys felt that that was his way of testing a new solo audience, you know what I mean? Like,
wow.
Because maybe he could feel the loss of love in the camp, you know what I mean?
Oh, so he didn't know he was getting booted. He was just maybe kind of sensing that something was up.
He could probably sense it, and he was like, I mean, I'm sure he didn't care, because the tequila was banging, just starting to go. But,
he was just like,
but he was one of those guys, like, he's always played well, always sang really well, never really had a bad night, so makes sense that he could just keep on doing that stuff.
Really, eh?
He wasn't ever banged up or anything. He just was always seemed like that happy guy all the time.
So as a singer, he was legit?
Super. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's a good guitar player too.
Crazy. Who else was even in the conversation when David Lee Roth left Van Halen? Who were the other maybes, or was it Sammy right away?
I don't know. I mean, we might have talked about this on the pod before, but I remember talking on the phone with Alex after when that happened, when I heard Sammy Hagar left, and there was all speculation of David Lee Roth coming back or whatever, and they were like adamant against that. They didn't want it to seem like they needed him at that point. They wanted to keep going different. And I remember Alex was telling me that Sass Jordan was like, he's like, what do you think of Sass Jordan?
Crazy.
He was like in the top couple mix.
Wow.
So
she's a good rock singer. That would have made sense.
I know. And I think they kind of wanted to maybe do something drastic, like different, you know, instead of just going with someone who might have sounded like Dave, or
going with the same old. Yeah.
And then so they went with Sharon, right? From Extreme at the time.
But taking it back further, when David Lee Roth left, was Sammy the only candidate, or were there other candidates then? What does that mean?
I don't think it. I think it was all Sammy. I don't know. I don't know how that one. That.
Like, was it one of those, like, the government, like, they posted the job, but they already had a successful candidate internally?
You know what? I think they probably had those songs, like the OU812 jams going. Yeah. So they were probably like, well, let's just get somebody to finish this and fill it out. Because I know it was pretty positive when they started with him.
Right.
And that album was huge.
Huge. Was it a personality thing with David Lee Roth?
Definitely. Yeah. I think it was like the classic God complex where he just was just kind of felt entitled, maybe, or they were just, because they're musicians, and he was like a singer, so they always kind of didn't respect him in that way, you know what I mean? They were just, this guy's just kind of a clown, but they felt that they were, they are very accomplished and worked their asses off at their instrument, but David Lee Roth was a great kind of singer, but there's an element with singing where if you can sing and it comes easy to you, which it was like that with Dave, it kind of, that's all you do that and you jump around, you have a way with words and you're good with people in a room. It's a little different, you know, when it comes easy like that, as opposed to like working forever on an instrument.
Interesting.
Be good. Of course. To be good enough in a band, the curve is different. And there are singers that are, you know, not great, but they kind of work their way into being pretty good, you know. But, like, I don't know how like Anthony Kiedis, it's pretty, he's more of like a front man, good for interviews, always going to give you a great quote, funny, smart. But when it comes to like singing, not the first guy I'd pick for the all-star team.
Yeah, but he's got, you know, the, I mean? He knows what he can do.
He's he stays in his lane.
Whereas Dave is more bop, bozy bozy bop, zitty bop, and Sammy is.
Yeah, it's like it's like in equating it to like a sport, like in golf, a guy who only hits a low little hook shot.
Right, on certain courses, crushes it.
But he can do it only, but he does it straight every time. That, you know, like a Lee Trevino or something, where it just wins a ton of events. But you're like, wow, that's not, you know. And then there's the guy who wants to hit all the different shots in the world, and they can't win a tournament. So it's the same thing. You got to stay in your lane, right? When you eventually. But the ba da 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 ba da ba ba da. Believe me. I remember being backstage hearing that and laughing like, man, I didn't think I'd hear this every day, but it is happening every day.
Speaking of every day, this is the third podcast in a row that Lee Trevino has been mentioned.
I love that. That's the best.
It's the third one in a row because we were talking about Bermuda and the wind, and now he has become our default specialist.
He's such a bod, too.
I mean, he's like, no Fuzzy Zeller.
You know what he used to do? He used to, like, have a fake snake in his bag, and he'd throw it on guys on the tee.
Come on.
Like, while they were doing their practice swing, he'd, like, toss it on their foot. And there's a video of it, like, him taking it out to Jack Nicklaus.
No.
And Jack's like, what the? Yeah, and it's, like, cheering a major, I think.
That's really
just
funny.
Just rattle their cage. It's classic.
Like, did people like him? Or people were like, oh my, he's such a jerk.
Yeah, no, everybody loved him and still love him. He's one of those guys that you, if you have the pleasure to meet, which I haven't, he's a sweetheart, always, and very knowledgeable. But anyway.
That's really funny. It's such a good jam, though.
How about that? Wow.
That's one of the hardest hit the post songs. We've used that on the show before.
Tell me, why can't this
I don't even know what guitar effect that is. It's like the boomerang. And just when you think it's over, it goes on for six more minutes, and then he comes in at the weirdest time. Here it comes!
Isn't it a keyboard? It's a keyboard, I think, isn't it? I never went side stage for that jam.
In fact,
to see what's going on.
I think, I think it's Eddie on the keyboard.
Of course it is, definitely. They had the piano player from Night Ranger, like, in a black curtained off box.
No.
For the beginning of Right Now, that piano part.
Please tell me that's true.
It's true, yeah.
Because I'm not a good piano player, but I can chord. The beginning of Sister Christian is a beautiful piece of piano music.
Yeah, no, that guy he's could legit. Rock it, man. But he was getting paid. He didn't care. But there were just certain things that were like they had, and they just didn't want to like play it off of a tape or whatever. So they at least have a guy, and he's legit.
So he's there crushing Virginia Slims, waiting for two moments in the whole show?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. And it was a big kind of a secret. I didn't really see him at all.
Come on. Was that him too?
I never saw him. I don't think so. I think he had, because he had a grand piano in there.
It's so weird. But you can tell it's very musical.
What about the... What about the bum 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 da 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 the bridge?
It's insane. The big
breakout section.
Why can't this be loud?
The drums are all fucking crazy.
It's insane.
You ever listen to how crazy the middle section of Jump is?
Yeah.
Like the solo. Like this, all the shots going on. Sit out on a drum kit and try and play that part of the Jump.
You can't.
Without, like, falling ass over tea kettle.
You just can't.
Well, it's just so badass and fucked up. You gotta listen to it.
I love that, Panama makes me want to shove people around. Makes me want to drive into a light standard. It gets me all fired up, too.
Makes you want to turn into, like, some crazed hockey player.
Well, what is...
Pounding into people.
Which jam is the... Bong, dung, 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 dung,
When It's Love?
Is it?
When It's Love. That's that same record. That,
it's When It's Love and Why Can't This Be Love. There's two jams and I love them both.
Yeah. Well, that was the first... Because the thing about Van Halen... was with David Lee Roth anyway. They didn't do ballads. They were known like, we don't do that stuff. That's not our thing. We are party rock band and like rock and roll. And then that record, there was like three ballads on it. That's why all of a sudden they were like, what happened to these guys? But they crossed over to the pop audience.
Well, I just have to assume that a couple of ballads over the course of the night gives you a chance to catch your breath, doesn't it?
Whatever, yeah. They're slower tempo songs are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd listen to Layla all night. If people call that a ballad.
I guess.
Rights.
I guess it is.
It's like the OG ballad.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
But you don't really slow dance to it. I think of ballad as slow dance.
Righteous Brothers styles.
You like, oh, my Lord. That's a ballad.
Yeah, I was
my
doing the other
darling.
One. Did I tell you I got in a fight with that guy? The guy from the Righteous Brothers?
No, you did not. Now would be a good time. Where?
It was in, like, some hotel bar in, like, Syracuse or something like that.
And he was chirping there. You guys, or you were chirping them?
It was in the hotel, and I was like, kind of, he was getting banged up, and,
Don Everly?
I was, the smaller one. No, the Righteous Brothers.
Righteous, right. I was thinking, yeah. The Everly Brothers.
No, this is the Righteous Brothers, the smaller one.
The little mask.
Anyway. Yeah, the guy who did the lower stuff. You'll never hold my eyes. Anyway, he was going on and on about... He got mad because I was asking him about the Beatles all the time because they were on that first tour, the one when they got off the plane in 64 and Ed Sullivan's show and all that madness. They were the opener on those first initial American shows.
Really?
And
because You've Lost That Love and Feeling, I'm learning on Wikipedia, was produced by Phil Spector.
Yeah,
crazy.
But so he was jealous because I kept talking about the Beatles and I wanted to know about the Beatles. And he's like, who gives a shit about the Beatles? They're a bunch of punks playing Monopoly in the room and picking their young girls all the time.
Is that what they were doing, playing Monopoly?
Yeah, because they couldn't get out of the hotels.
Aww.
They couldn't leave.
So they were playing Monopoly in their room.
Yeah, with another room, a shenanigans room beside it.
What do you mean, like an intimate relations room?
Yeah, like, oh, they're a friendly fan. Let's go into the room and watch some TV. apart from the Monopoly game.
Snog. So that was the that was their version of Netflix and chill. Let's play Monopoly and chill. Do you want to play Monopoly and chill then? Should we play some Monopoly and chill then?
It's your move. I want to be the boot. Again, I'll be the boot.
We've come a long way from Monopoly and chill to... If we hosted a music show, it would be called From Monopoly and Chill to...
The Mal Evans, the roadie guy. Well, I'd like to play Monopoly too.
I fancy the odd game of Monopoly. I fancy the odd game of Monopoly. You know, you're not the only one to get horny.
What's the matter? You don't want to play Monopoly with me?
You're not the only one to get horny. Yeah, you're not the only one to get horny.
That's him driving the Beatles to the Heads Open show.
Looking in the rearview mirror.
Couldn't be too hard to shovel off a little off your plate for old Mal, eh?
You're not the only one who fancies an Andy.
I would have had a shag in 6 weeks.
All right, let's take a break, bud.
Cocktail, please.
And now, Action 7 News.
I'm Tom Bent.
And I'm Carly Huffenbach.
It's Action 7 News.
Good evening, I'm Buffy Tramontina.
And I'm Bill Cosby.
And now, Action 7 News.
I'm Shocky Taser.
And I'm Carp Mullally.
It's your Action 7 News team tonight.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Elise Bermanchetti.
And I'm Glass Case.
I was watching... We're in Florida... And I was watching ABC Action 7 News, and the names are always like Tark Pocklington and Melissa Hernandez.
I'm Gandalf Harrison.
And I'm Tina Tarson.
I'm Ariel Hershiser.
Wait a sec. Wasn't there Oral Hershiser a baseball player?
Yes. His daughter, Ariel, works for the Florida Action 7 News team.
Oh, man. Because she's trying to make it to the show covering baseball. And her dad's like, you know
Welcome
what?
Welcome to Florida's best action news. I'm Harvey Knockers.
Harvey Knockers?
Yeah, big tough guy.
Harvey Knockers. And I'm Trudy Blapstein. What is this track?
Like this jam?
And now your Action 7 News team.
I'm Al Over.
And I'm Sonia Smituni.
Welcome to your Action 7 News team. I'm Penny State.
And I'm Ann Pocklingtonberg.
This is your Baron Tonsillitis for Action 7 News.
Baron Tonsillitis? And then they're Baron. In California. Do you remember the weatherman names? Like, they all have names like Johnny Mountain and Dallas Rains. Good evening, I'm Dallas Rains.
We had a fire on the south side of this town. Caledon East. Pearl Oyster from Action 7 News.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, everyone. Henry, pipe down, bud.
We got some weather coming in. I'll tell you about it at 6 o'clock. I'm Nori Easter from Action 7 News.
I like when they have complicated names for the weather system, too. Like, the Doppler 7000 Action Weather Team is on standby. We begin our coverage tonight with Neil, who's down by the seawall. Neil, what can you tell us from there?
Well, the water's crashing us, and they're wearing, like, goggles. Right.
I also and a poncho, a foul weather poncho.
Yeah.
I also like the outros, like, that's Neil reporting for us from the seawall. Neil, stay dry down there as best you can.
Well, let's get this jammed down. They're breaking into a flute solo, which is classic for.
And then there's always this sports guy who played like AAA baseball.
Oh yeah. Punchy Punchadillo with sports.
Punch Punchadillo. Hey, good evening. I'm Punch Punchadillo. Coming up, your Central Florida Cyclones were in action last night. I'll have all the details on that and plus more. But right now, let's get a check-in with your Doppler 7000 winner. Here's Neil.
Hey,
Neil,
this is Mitch Malone. I'll be coming up with sports at 7 o'clock.
What happened to John, who's the guy on City TV?
Which guy?
Remember John the sports
guy? John Gallagher?
Yeah.
John Gallagher.
Is he still there?
I see him from time to time. I see him around.
I'm Couch Farchatuni. No. I don't get the city. I don't get city news. He's still there?
Well, he's not. No, he's not on there anymore.
So where do you see him from time to time? Sobeys?
I see him like on, you know, like in pictures and stuff, like doing stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, John Gallagher came out today for the picnic or whatever.
I'm Purse Largo. Good evening, everyone. I'm Barbara Bimini.
I'll have your fishing update with Darren Tackle.
So we're in Florida, bud.
You're in Florida.
Yeah, we did the drive. We had to find a window between three nor'easters. Ooh. And last Friday, I think we did the pod on Thursday. And last Friday, Carol and I were kind of packing as though we weren't sure. We kept having the like, well, we know we have to pack at some point, so we might as well pack. Well, we know at some point we'll have to put the stuff on the rig, so we might as well do that. And then suddenly we were just driving.
Burling down the highway. How long did you make it in? A day and a half or so?
More than that. We encountered a bit of snow in New Brunswick.
Yeah?
We stopped in Bangor. We stopped in somewhere in Pennsylvania. And we stopped in Manning, South Carolina.
Starts getting warm right there, bud.
I know. Well, my colleagues were at the Canadian Screen Awards. We were dry camping at a Walmart parking lot in Manning, South Carolina. Equally glamorous, but in a different way.
Oh, see, I went and saw Letterkenny last Saturday.
How was it?
At the Queen's Elizabeth Theater. It was fantastic. It was a great time.
Which,
boy, oh boy, it was a good time.
Which theater is the Queen Elizabeth Theater again?
It's the one that's near Medieval Times on the C&E grounds, kind of.
Oh, yeah, right.
That area.
So is it a big room?
It's, it's a great big place. And I mean, they did two shows.
Bananas.
So they're... Like, I would say go buy tickets, but they're all sold out. And it was great to hang. Saw the bods afterwards.
Nice.
Had a great bunch of laughs. Those guys are so fun to hang out with. And I was actually blown away by Mark Forward's stand-up.
Yeah.
That was kind of... Like, I know he's hilarious, and I know he's very funny, but... This latest material he's put together is really special, really funny stuff.
It's
unbelievable.
The thing that is astonishing about him is, and all good stand-ups, they really earn their money in the moments when it's not going well. Not to say for a second that it's not going well, but say the joke has an extremely long setup by design. And you know you're not getting major laughs in the setup, but the payoff is going to be huge. It's having the confidence and the patience to just parse out the story slowly and expertly and know that the end is going to be worth it. John Doerr does that, too. Like, have you ever seen John Doerr? He did a fishing joke on Conan O'Brien. And the joke is like 7 minutes long. And it's really the main laugh is in the punchline.
So you have to really listen to keep it.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks you in with the tail. Well, that's kind of Richard Pryor used to do that too with the. He'd tell you one thing about a character or something, and he would go on about a story that you'd forget exactly what the heck was going on.
Yeah. Henry.
For example, like people that went to a movie, and all of a sudden he starts acting out the movie, and you forget about the people that went to the movie, and then it comes back to the people that were at the movie. All of a sudden you're like, what? We're back there.
Oh, yeah, the movie. Henry, come here, bud.
Hey, where are you right now? Like, sitting outside or in
the trailer? No, I'm in the bus, and Henry's sitting up on the dash, looking at passersby. My girls are just coming back from the pool.
He has problems with seeing people?
No,
he wants to beat...
There's a lot more action here than there is at home, so every time someone bikes by or walks by or happens by the front of the bus, he kind of freaks out a little bit.
He just wants to party with everybody, right?
Yes. So we're in Kissimmee this week and next, and then Miami for a week.
Ooh, Miami.
So we made it in pretty good time, in 3 days.
I guess what, speaking of dogs, Rebel, and you would appreciate this, well, not necessarily because it's kind of sad in a way, but it had to happen. Rebel caught a mouse yesterday.
Where?
There was in the house. Every winter, doesn't matter. Like, this place is brand new, but mice just somehow, like, because, I don't know, because we're by the lake or whatever, there's always one or two that makes its way in the house. And we try to catch it and throw it out somewhere else, like, you know, like down the road and give it a chance to go into someone else's scene. But out of ours, because, you know, there's mouse poop everywhere, like where they hang out and stuff. And
what do you mean everywhere?
Well, like where they hang out, and you, like there's, in the bottom of the pantry, one of them got like a hold of a corner of a box of like cereal or whatever else, so you gotta, and they shit where they eat all the time. They're popping out those things. You can't have that around, so.
No.
Set up a trap, and the trap wouldn't set and wouldn't go in there at all.
A Snapsy or a Gluey?
But what's that?
A Snapsy or a Gluey trap?
Oh, that was a Snapsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it that
Gluey's a little nasty.
Yeah, really nasty.
The Gluey's awful because they're still alive for so long.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Terrible.
Not that there's a humane way to kill anything, but when they're rooting through and taking your walls apart inside, they got to get out of the house. So anyway, we thought he was afraid of the mouse because it ran by him and he jumped and ran away. And Chihuahua, he's half Chihuahua, half Pomeranian, but Chihuahuas were, I guess they're bred to catch rats. Like that's what they did best. And, He finally, all of a sudden, clicked in his head because we were saying, what the heck, you're afraid of mice and you can't catch a mouse? And then, boom, he just went and caught the mouse, like, no problem.
So what did he do with it? Bring it to you to show it to you?
No, he was like, that's mine, I want to finish the job. Like, he was doing that. He was all excited, and when I was taking it out in the jar, he was, like, trying to get at me. Like, it's like, that's my kill! It's like fighting out of everyone's arms.
So how
I took it way down the road and put it in a field, and you know, sorry, bud, if it's too cold, but hopefully you'll find somewhere else. You can't live in my house.
How did you get it from him?
Well, Lisa put the jar over it.
So he was like, he had it cornered, paper. And then she put the jar over it.
Yeah. Well, he gave it a couple smacks. Its leg was a little maimed.
So it was kind of dazed. Really
getting around. Wasn't getting around well, yeah. I think Rebel gave it one of those, like, toss throws, snappies. And he, all of a sudden, he felt like that was his thing. Like, now he's a man or something. Or he's became a Chihuahua or
of course, it's a little rite of passage. I think it's the same with Yorkies, too. I think they were good at that.
he's going around the house now, like, all proud and looking for stuff.
Does Rebel lift his leg to pee?
Yeah.
Because Henry squats. And I think it's because lifting a leg is like a learned behavior, and he hasn't seen any dude dogs around, so he doesn't know really how to do it properly.
My favorite is how when Rebel goes to take a number two, he hides, and I'll watch him go out in the back of the backyard, and he'll like look around to see if no one's looking, and then go, like, what's with that? Or he'll hide behind something.
Well, that's kind of nice, though. Kind of considerate.
It's pretty funny.
You know how much I dislike mice.
I know. You would be freaking out if, like, I was yesterday morning, it ran right past my feet. You'd be up on the counter.
What do you mean? In the kitchen?
Yeah.
Like, not in your bed or anything? Coffee,
and it ran right under my feet, under the stove. And I was like, oh, man, come on, Rebs, do your thing.
Now, you say it. But are you sure there's just one?
Well, this is the second one in about a month.
Right.
So I hope that's the end of it.
You don't want to create an environment for them where they can just fire up the Barry White and get things going, because they breed fast.
Yeah, and they will. They'll be happy to take the run of the house. And they'll just start destroying all kinds of things, from drywall to wires.
Well, also, if you're seeing them, that means they're comfy.
That's right. There was one in my old house that would be so comfortable it would, like, go hang out, like, when we're watching TV, like, go up on top of the drapes and sit there.
No.
Yeah, like, part of the family.
I mean, it's kind of cute when you put it like that.
Well, yeah, right? And the place was, like, before I tore it down, so it was like, whatever, man.
So you mean your old place where your new place is?
Yes. Yeah, before I tore it down and built a new place. Just like, I think it was about a year or two after you built your place.
Was it?
Right? Yeah.
Why? It's
been like 6 years, 5 years?
No, you built your place before we built ours, for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not even 4 years yet.
Wow, okay.
So back to Letterkenny. About a year. Did you have a favorite Mark Forward joke?
I thought the bear stuff was hilarious.
Yeah.
And the fancy hats was pretty unbelievable.
I've seen fancy hats before. He didn't do it the night that we saw them, but it is spectacular. And there's like a prime example of really making a mountain out of a molehill is what I find really funny. And
well, he finished with that, so you know it's good.
Yeah. It's just a confidence thing, man. You get the sense that as you're watching that you're in the hands of someone who's very comfortable in their ability, and that's a lot of it. Sometimes when you see stand-ups, especially, you know, new ones, as they're kind of finding their voice and finding their feet, you can sense that they're kind of weirded out. The night we were there, both Kate Trev and Forward had to handle hecklers.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I think
was like a Toronto audience was a dream for both. The people were great.
So great as in reserved and quiet, or great as in laughed like, but didn't heckle?
I didn't hear one heckle.
Right.
So, I mean, definitely for... it was like very loving audience, it seemed to me.
I think in the case of the Moncton show, the hecklers were not mean-spirited, or their intention was not to, like, diss them.
They just kind of wanted to be part of the scene a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, people love the show, and they want to participate, and they want to weigh in, and, you know, there's a call-and-answer portion to the show, as you know. I mean, probably not dissimilar to the guy in Ottawa going, "My wife!" at our show, right? Just wants to be part of it, because he's having fun and feels like he's with buds.
Oh, for sure. I don't think he was trying to get... well, maybe he thought people would laugh, but the poor guy. Maybe he'll be back.
Maybe he'll be back, because we're going back to Ottawa.
We'll be back. And speaking of Ottawa, we just announced Kingston yesterday.
Unbelievable. Mansion. Yeah. We are on 28th, fire. Right? I think so.
May 28th?
Is it? Okay.
We're awesome.
Last week of May is going to be really fun.
5 days in May, bud.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait to get back out there and see more buds. And, you know, people are saying, when are we coming to other places in Canada? The short answer is we're planning and we're trying and we intend to, and bear with us.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Hey, do you want to... What?
Is that fair? Is that a fair way to put it?
Fair's fair. Fair's fair.
The time has come to Sci Fist. I was thinking about this morning, I kind of miss Seth Fisher, and I kind of miss Andrea and Laramie. We haven't done some of our staples in a while.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of miss Peter Garrett.
Maybe we should do another Peter Garrett children's show when we come back after the break. Yeah?
Yeah.
This episode of Taking Times is brought to you in part by tacos and enchiladas. We'll be right back.
Orlando, oh my God, Laramie, we're in friggin' Florida.
It's the very special episode when they've gone on the road. Once a season to burn off some budget cash.
Okay, I got the first class passes, all that stuff. Front of the line, here we are. What do you think, Andrea?
Laramie, you only got one pass. Why only one?
No, I have mine, but I got this book that I want to read, and you go on
ahead. Are you freaking kidding me? We drove 30 hours through snow, sleet, and hail for you to freaking sit in the hotel rooms while I do all the Universal Studio stuff by myself? I need two people for Harry Potter's.
But it's the new Maynard James Keenan book, man. Like, talks about Tool and
Laramie, dark. You're already the color of mayonnaise. Bit of sunshine wouldn't hurt a fella.
Growing wine.
I have blisters on my arse from sitting in the Cavalier for that long to come down here. I thought at least we were going to go outside and create some memories.
How am I going to maintain this pasty glow?
Did you not read the email attachment I sent you with your itineraries?
Oh, I know.
I broke it down into different Disney things. There's the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, there's Typhoon Lagoon, there's Discovery Coves, there's Blizzard Beaches. How are we going to do it all if you're reading a book?
All right, I'll go, I guess, but I don't know, maybe the King Kong ride seems kind of cool.
Laramie, have you ever been to Florida before?
Well, just on the yacht, offshore, came off the boat once.
Would you believe, do you mean like a cruise?
No, I mean like my dad's yacht. It's kind of like same size as one of those, though.
I got to come once.
That's why.
With my Aunt Gloria when I was 7, but I had never been back to Florida on my own terms. She wanted to drag me around and do all the stuff that she wanted to do, which was SeaWorld. And I got covered in dolphin urines, but I didn't really want to see anything else there. This is my first time being here by myself on my own terms with my friend. Let's get going. We're wasting time.
Okay. Hey, look. There's a Harry Potter world. What do you think of that?
I think it would behoove us, Laramie, to just sit on this bench for 5 seconds and just go over the plan for the day.
All right, okay.
Wet n' Wild Orlando's where we're going after lunch. Then we're going to Old Town because they have theme parks and it's free to get in. There's a Holy Land experience, which I put an asterisk by because we could do that, but we don't have to. Then there's Volcano Bay. I was thinking tomorrow we could go to the Science Center because they do have an outdoor exhibit. And then we might even go on an alligator jet boat.
I kind of want to see Waterworld and the Transformers.
Waterworld, the Kevin Costner movie? Now you want to stay inside and watch movies?
It's like the Kevin Costner movie, except it's good.
I'll tell you what, we can go to Waterworld if you do one thing with me, and I know the answer's going to be no, but I'm going to say it anyways.
What?
They have these, like, you know, like Beyonce and like Bill Clinton, but they're made out of wax.
Yeah.
They have like your JC and they have like Matt Damon's, but they're made out of wax.
Yeah.
They have like Jamiroquai, but he's wax. He's right waxy.
The Tussauds?
Yeah, Madame Tussauds.
Hey, look, there's Mario Lopez. There's that extra live here.
Oh my frick, he's right gorgeous. Look at the washboard abs on him. How'd you do that?
He's all shiny.
I just want to take a bath in even one of his dimples.
He's all shiny, look.
I know, it's like he's right shellacked or something. It's like he's preserved his gorgeous self. I'm going to go over and say hi right quick. Just see what he says. Mostly because I want to hear you do Mario Lopez. Hey, Mario.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Do you got a second?
Hey, how are you? I'm Mario. How you doing?
It's a long story. I'm from Cape Breton, but I live in Mississauga. So anyways, I just wanted to say hi. Loved you ever since. What was the show with the freaking blonde guy with the...
Saved by the Bell.
You were in a high school. Was it Student Bodies? No.
Saved by the Bell.
Was it friggin' Degrassi or...
No.
It wasn't 90210.
I just said it.
I'm so embarrassed right now. I can't even believe I'm drawing a blank in the show you were on.
That's okay. I just...
What is the show?
Would you like to watch us tape an interview here?
Just right quick, what was the name of the high school show that you were on?
I said it three times. Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell, that's right. Well, friggin' Mr. Belding. And what was that perv's name? He played the nerd, but he actually has a big bird, and he was in a porno?
I gotta do an interview in a minute here.
Remember the guy, what was his name? It was alliteration.
I don't know.
Dustin Mark Diamond, Paul that was Gosling. Him. He played...
Mark Paul... Yeah.
No, it was Dustin Diamond. Remember he played... what was his name? He's nerdy. Screech.
Mind if I carry this bar?
Should have thought.
Mind if I carry this barbell? I got a barbell.
What? Why do you have a freaking barbell for? To do an interview with?
Wow. These pipes aren't gonna make themselves.
Laramie, did you see that? It's like his microphone is a barbell, so in between interviews or whatever, he can just do a few curls for the girls.
Yeah, so the guy said the thing weighs like 50 pounds. That mic, it must be made of like some kind of heavy stuff.
Laramie, will you do me one favor to make my whole dream come true?
What?
Will you let us get shirts that say Thing 1 and Thing 2?
Are you...
Please?
Oh, yeah, as long as I can wear it under my Slipknot. I'll open it up, though, my Slipknot.
No, the whole joke is that you have to see both of them. Because what if they just see me, Thing 2? They'll be like, well, that's a poor thing, and no Thing 1.
No, but I'll have it open at the front. It'll say... Thing 1, it'll kind of actually work a little bit.
But what if you're going to have to hold it open?
Eyeliner. This eyeliner on, hold on.
Laramie?
Can you help me with this eyeliner?
Yeah, just stand still right quick. I'm going to grab you by the chin and put this eyeliner on, this eyeliner.
It's hard to do with these fingerless gloves.
Laramie, can I tell you something right funny? When I told my mom that we were driving down to Orlando, she was like, is that ever romantic? And I was like, Mom, I don't think it is. And then she said, I bet he's going to propose to you down there.
Ow!
What?
Don't poke me in the eye.
No, I was just saying, my mom said, I bet he's going to propose to you down there. And I was like, no, he's not, is he?
You know this stupid talk again. You know this isn't serious. Okay, that's enough. That's blocking off there. Hey, take it easy. Okay.
No, sorry, that was an accident when I poked you in the friggin' eye.
There's some in my eye now.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the fact that you said you wouldn't propose to me in a stupid talk. Laramie, nobody loves you like I do. You're never going to find anybody better. We might as well just settle.
There's Homer, man. There's like the real Springfield right there. Look, you want to go to the Springfield?
You have a beautiful mind, Laramie, you do, but sometimes it's as hard to figure out as it was for Russell Crowe in whatever movie that was.
Whoa! Wow! Walking Dead, man. There's Walking Dead, Andrea.
See what happens when you get off the couch, Laramie? There's a whole world out there.
Whoa, let's go to that.
Don't you go to that?
Let's go in there.
You go to that. I'm going to Typhoon Lagoons. See if I can get a sub for anything less than $40. And we'll meet up later. Maybe it would do you a little bit of good to miss me a bit.
That sounds good. I'm going to get into the Walking Dead. I got a lead pipe, a fake lead pipe. I got a fake lead pipe. A real Walking Dead. I got a Walking Dead baseball bat with barbed wire on it.
As a souvenir?
Yeah, like in the souvenir shop.
Oh my gosh.
Like the pretend baseball bat with the barbed wire saying Walking Dead.
What is Universal Studios?
It's basically like theme park, but it rides and everything, but it's all based on movies. Everything's based on theatrical releases that were popular with that Universal.
So how did Waterworld get a ride?
Well, I guess it's because the movie was all spent on the set, right? So they probably want to reenact the big crazy set with the water.
They probably want to get some of their money back.
But honestly, was Waterworld really a bust if it was such a popular bust in a way? It's almost more press because it's bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but wasn't its knock that it was the most expensive movie in history and it was a box office flop?
Yeah, but I wonder if it's picked up since then in the world in the era of DVDs have come and gone. I wonder how it does on Netflix.
Do you think it's on Netflix?
If it's even on. Yeah, I wonder.
Do you think it's even on Waterworld Netflix?
Coming to Netflix.
Jeremy Taggart.
What?
What is that?
This thing's talking to me.
What thing?
I don't know why. What? All right. I'm going to put this thing under a box here under the bed so it doesn't make any more noise.
What thing?
There we go. The speaker.
Because you're using three different devices now, right?
I'm using an iPad and two iPhones.
Man.
It's getting out of hand.
It's getting super high tech. It is the next day. We opted to punt the third segment to the next day. So it's another day in paradise for me. We're going to the beach in Cocoa Beach today.
Ooh, nice.
It's going to be 82 like degrees.
Is that a man-made beach?
No, it's legit. We're going out to the...
It's on the ocean?
The East Coast, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And in fact, Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach are adjacent, and it's called the Space Coast. And I'm trying to remember what show. Was it Bewitched? Was it Bewitched that was set? Did Darren work at NASA or something?
I don't know. I never really watched that show much. I just remember her doing a rail and disappearing.
I Dream of Jeannie. That's the show that was set in Cocoa Beach.
Isn't that the one where she did a big snort and then disappeared?
What do you mean?
She put her finger to her nose and then and then vanished or whatever, remember?
Oh, I thought you meant actually did.
No, but it was.
Was on the gang.
What was that anyway? Remember? You know what I'm talking about?
There are two different shows.
I Dream of Jeannie? Whenever she did the magic, she did a like this, like Santa going up the chimney after the magic dust.
There were two different shows. Bewitched was the one where she went tink 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 with her nose. Remember?
Oh yeah. And what did the other one?
And then I Dream of Jeannie. Maybe she was the one that rubbed her nostril. But which one had Darren? Okay, I Dream of Jeannie, a United States astronaut finds his life vastly complicated when he stumbles onto a bottle containing a female genie. Bewitched must have been the one. Yeah. Bewitched must have been the one that had two Darrens.
I Dream of Genie is the one that does the scoop and then it's that magic.
Two scoops. Two scoops of Railsins. That's good code for GAC.
Did you know it was Michael Caine's birthday a few days ago?
Yeah, he turned 85.
Yeah.
Two scoops of Railsins. Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Michael Caine's 85, yeah? Doing Michael Caine. We haven't done Donovan in a while either, or Sif Fisher.
For all times, do that. It's not your cocaine.
It's not your cocaine, okay? It's Michael Caine. Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine. You can actually say, the more you say it's Michael Caine, the more it sounds like Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine. Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine.
I don't know which one you said.
It's Michael Caine. I think
which one? Okay, now do one or the other randomly.
It's Michael Caine.
Okay.
Now, it's Michael Caine.
Do the other.
It's Michael Caine.
Oh, dude.
I can't tell.
The first one was Michael Caine. Michael Caine. And the second one is Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
But I think he would say it more like the second one, his name.
Michael Caine. It's like when you say career and courier, they sound the same. Hey, and Tags. Korea? In the few minutes that we have left, let's deal the buds in on the fork in the road at which we find ourselves.
Things are changing. Things are changing around here.
So here's what we want to do. They're not changing in a bad way at all.
No, no. In a great way.
Let's start by saying if we could do TNT full-time for a living, both of us would happily do that.
100%.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
So we've been doing it for 3 years now, and it's going really well. And we've had some offers of sponsorship.
It's been 4 years.
Is it really?
3 years on iTunes.
Crazy.
4 years total. Yeah.
So we've had some offers of sponsorship, and we've always kind of bucked at it because we thought, I don't know, it's just suddenly a little bit different to have This is the Tag and Torn podcast brought to you by so-and-so. Even though lots of people do it, even though it's an accepted practice, we've been holding out for a partner or two that will allow us to do ads in character in the body of the show in a way that doesn't even necessarily feel like it's an ad.
Yes. We said that's the best way for us to do that because it felt like, you know, it's not just an ad. It's funny. It'll be good. But it's still going to benefit the podcast and the business side of what we're trying to do to facilitate doing it 100% of the time.
Exactly. So, and the other thing we didn't want to do is sneaky ads where it sounds like an ad, but we weren't admitting that it was because that felt weird and gross, even though that is common practice as well. We didn't want to front load 5 minutes of ads at the start of a podcast that you have to cycle over or bunny hop.
Skip through.
Yeah. So next week, if I have the math right, will be the first ad in TNT history.
Yeah.
And what that allows us to do is hopefully book more tour dates and cast a wider net to different parts of Canada that we wouldn't be able to get to because it's simply cost prohibitive.
Yeah, and the bigger the things get there, the better it gets for fans. We can start doing more contesting. We can do some legit awesome prizing, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So
it's a win-win for the bods and for us.
It seems to be, but if we want the bods to know one thing, it's that we have had offers and we have been extremely selective, even though in the short term they might have benefited us. We have said no to a lot of things that didn't feel like the right fit because it would have been a bit of a shoehorn creatively or whatever. So we're excited about these partnerships. We welcome and want to hear your feedback. Like we say, they feel like a really good fit. We won't give away what it is, but you'll find it embedded in the episode that comes out next week.
Yeah.
And best of all, this means we can just keep doing the pod because we both love it. And like I say, we'd love to do it for a living till the end of time.
Yes. And we're actually happy with the people that so far that are working with us. It's actually awesome. So it couldn't be any better, honestly, if for going this route and doing these kind of things to make it better for you and I, obviously, but also for everybody else, for sure.
Agreed. Because the other danger of bringing partners in is suddenly they'll be like, you can't do J.R. Bear and Colleen in the Morning. Like, we don't want people weighing in on content, and these people aren't. And that was very important to us, too.
Absolutely.
Giddy up, bud.
Good times.
I'm going to the beach. Talk to you next week.
Have fun at the Cocoa Beach. I you know what I'm doing today?
What?
We're going to... You know, the trampoline is actually great in winter here.
Oh, man, because you can jump off the trampoline into the snow.
Well, no, but it's just you can jump around outside, and it's fun to see. And it's super windy today. I don't know if I said this in the last one. It's been very cold and very windy here. But I think we're gonna make it out today and possibly go see a flick.
Great. And the best part is it's so windy. No drones.
Yeah, that that Wrinkle in Time movie's really doing things, eh?
I have FOMO Oprah.
FOMO Oprah?
Fear of missing Oprah. I'm jealous that you're getting to see Wrinkle in Time. It looks dope.
All right, bud.
Have fun, bud. Bye, bud.
Doom-gong-gang-gong-ding-gong-jubo-bounce-gong-do-da-doom-bam-bam-dick-a-doom-dowry.